Okay, let's get into Kilayim on Daf Yutes, and we are on Yud Ches and Beis. We just did the Mishnah, the next Mishnah here in the second Parak, in Parak Kol Sa'ah, and we started the Sugyas of Rosh Tor, which are connected to all the issues of Kilay Zraim, that have to do with not planting figs Be'er Buvya, that the Torah tells us, Sadecha Lo Sizra Kilayim, but we understand that to mean that it cannot look like Be'er Buvya, and even if there is Yanika underneath, it is okay as long as it's separated in the place where everyone can see it. So we said in the Mishnah that one is not allowed to put next to a tevua field, a grain field, chardal v'charia, but one is allowed to put next to a vegetable field, chardal v'charia. Why? Because the vegetables, chardal v'charia, are very damaging. So either it means it's going to get uprooted, or you know for sure, everyone knows for sure, it's clear that it was not planted there, because chardal v'charia will destroy the vegetables, the irako, so it wasn't planted there. So if it was there for some other reason, we knew it's Zamarisayan. Maybe you're doing it to check, you're doing it for borders, whatever it is, there's not a problem to put it next to a vegetable field, but you cannot put it next to a field of tevua, even though it might damage it a little bit, but it does damage it so much that it won't be included in at least this drabanan of Marisayin. That was the first half of the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah was the issue of planting next to an item or an area that would be considered a hefsek. Right? If you plant next to a uncultivated field, a boor, a near, a plowed field, a wall, a road, a fence, all of these, one is allowed to plant right next to it, even though there's something else on the other side, because that is considered separated. So now the Gemara says, what does the word Ein Somchin mean? The phrase that we said in the first half of the Mishnah, that you cannot put this chardal v'charia, these types of seeds, of mustard seeds, and charias, what are charia seeds? The Gemara says, Ein Somchin v'chula by charia, morika, some type of herb, seeds that are not really an herb, but seeds that are used. What is that? Rasilio says shehu charkom, type of saffron, as it's translated. The Rambam says atzpor. That is charia. But you're not allowed to put this next to the tvua, but yes, next to the irakos. So keni masdis. So the Gemara says this really does not mean next to. What it means is ein makifin. You can't surround. That if I have a field of grain, I can't surround it with chardal and charia. Halismach sobchin. I'm allowed to put it next to it if I'm doing it again. Pashas to check the ground to see if this is good for planting the chardal and charia. I'm allowed to put it next to it because then there's no marasayin. The only marasayin would be is if it's totally surrounding the tvua field. So then it's not so clear that it's just there to check. It doesn't damage so much. That's why, if it's totally surrounding, that's included in the drabanan amarasayin. But in the case of vegetables, for sure it's masik, and nobody would ever think that you're going to leave it there, and it's damaging, so therefore it is marasayin. What does makifin mean? So if you look in the marafolda, it says you're not allowed to be makif mi gimel ruchos, from three sides. Three sides is already called a hakafa. If you look in the Rasilio, he says Makifin Lashon Hekif Shemukaf Me'arba Ruchosav Shehu Chavush, means if totally surrounded on all four sides. All four sides. That's a that's when it is aser. Aval Shura Hamafsekes Bein Sada L'Sada. But if you have a row between fields, Kiva Datelam Mafsek Asada Me'rosha L'Sofo, it goes all the way through. So Mutter. That is allowed. That row is considered, has significance itself, and visharya, as we will see, kediisa lakamat. So interesting, it's that the mafarshim on the page talk about surrounded by three sides or surrounded by four sides. Reminds me a little bit of a Rambam and Meshechachma. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. We know at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban adds on where he thinks that the Rambam forgot, what's called Shichachas HaAsin and Shichachas HaLavin, the mitzvahs that the Ramban thinks were forgotten by the Rambam. Why? Why does he have to add on? Because we know the Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Makos, everybody agrees. The Ramban has this comment that why does everybody agree to this one Agadata at the end of Maseches Makos? This Agadata had such a mazel that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Taryag mitzvahs, why? Because Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Torah is Gematria 611. Tzivalanu Moshe. Torah 611 we heard from Moshe. At 2 we heard straight from Hashem. So 613, that's the source. So all the Rishonim agree that there are 613 mitzvahs. The question is, what are those mitzvahs? So the Bahag was one of the earliest countings in the Gaonim. The Rambam, the Ramban, the Chinuch, the Yireim, the Smag, the Smak, all have, the Tashbates have their own lists of mitzvos. So the Ramban, he knocks out a number of mitzvos of the Rambam, so he has to add in where he forgot. Sometimes he'll knock out a mitzvah or add on a mitzvah in his comments on the Rambam, but then at the end he doesn't add in or take away. So that's a little troubling. Was he chozerbo in those contexts? But here in the Ramban, when he adds on the mitzvahs, there are a number of mitzvahs that he added on that are pretty famous. He adds on the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. He adds on the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. We discussed he adds on the mitzvah of being Tori Minha Yafe. Right, that was a mitzvah I say that he counted. But he also adds on in mitzvah number five, mitzvah chamishis, shenitz tavinu kishanatsur al-ir. We are commanded when we besiege a city, lahaniach achas min aruchos b'limatsur. You're only allowed to surround a city on three sides, not all four sides. Shibirtsu livroach yehilam derech lanus bisham. So that if the enemy wants to run away, they could run away. Ki bazet nilmod lehisnai bechemla, because that's how we could act compassionately. Afilu im ayvenu, even with our enemies beis amalchama, even with our enemies at a time of war, we have to act compassionately, and therefore we can't totally surround them. We have to leave over one wall. And then he adds uvo otikun. And also, not just is this a way of compassion, but the Ramban says, Uba otikud sheniftach lem pesach sheivrchu, that we should leave open one side that they could run away. V'lo yischazku likrasenu. And they're not being mischazek, right, because where else are they going to go? So they don't come fight us. If we leave open an opening, so then there are two options. Either they'll fight us or they'll run away. Not only because of compassion, but because you want to give them an option of not fighting us. You'd rather not fight, therefore you give them an option by running away, by leaving it open. Shedemar, where does this mitzvah come from? The end of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Matos. Vayitzvu al Midyan kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. You shall besiege and fight Midyan like Hashem told Moshe. That, and the Chazal Darshan, that doesn't just mean in general, like Hashem told Moshe to fight, but even the details. V'darshu b'sifri hi kifuha mishalosh ruchoseha. Rabbi Nassan Omar, teilem ruvias sheyivrechu. Ve'ezu mitzvahs sha'a b'midyan. Says the Rabban, this isn't just a temporary mitzvah in Midyan, that a detail of that war, aval hi mitzvah ledoros, b'kol melchemes reshus, this is what you do. V'chein kasav harav v'chibur ha'gadol, and the Rambam even quotes this, in Ochaz Malachim, so this is the Ramban counted as a separate mitzvah. Either Rambam doesn't have it. Why doesn't the Rambam have it? It's a Beferish Medrash. It's a Beferish Sifri. So the Megillas Esther says, because it's just a detail of Dini Melchama. The Rambam counts Dini Melchama, and this is one detail. The Rambam agrees to the Halacha, but he wouldn't think it's a separate din. Menir Ali says the Megillas Esther, Kima Sharav lo mana hu lefisha zehu chelek mi mitzvahs milchemes harishus. Shekfar mana be mitzvahs asei kuf ayin. The Rambam already lists off the mitzvah of milchama, so he doesn't have to list off all of the details of the mitzvos separately. Right? The Rambam back in kuf ayin, the Rambam says, the mitzvah? He says, okay, I'm not going to look it up now, but he says the mitzvah there to wage battle. Kuf Sadi. I'm like, we're looking here, Kufayin. Kuf Sadi. Let me just find it. The Rambam says in Kuf Sadi, he a mishpat shenasan lanu b'melchemes shar ha'umos. Right, the way that we deal with battle of other nations. That's the mitzvah. V'yinikris melchemes reshus. V'zeki anachnu nitztavidush kishenil chamimam, shenavticha mal nafsham, levad im yashlimu imanu, v'yitlanu ha'aretz v'dechayvim, let's say islanu mas, v'avdus, allow them to go, open with shalom, all the details. So part of that is this mitzvah, says the Megillas Esther. It's included. That's why only open on three sides and not four sides. I'm reading more of the Megillas Esther. Shein limnos achalaka. The Rambam says in Mishor Shid Aleph, you don't count parts of mitzvahs. Umashamar haramban sharav kasva b'chibur agadol emasu. Aval lechalek heviyasham. Right, he quotes the Rambam that he holds of this, but he quotes here that he wants to argue on him. So if you look at the Meshech Chachma there at the end of Matos. The Meshachachma discusses this machlokas. What's the Nekudas of machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban? Whether it should be counted separately or not. In Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin, Vatam Plukdasam, the Shorash of machlokas between them, why they're counted separately or not. The Ramban Sover says the Meshachachma. The Ramban Sover, the Kamoshi, he. Just like there's a mitzvah to ask for peace, right? Instead of fighting, you have to give them the option to ask for peace. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu did. Part of the mitzvah of asking for peace, which is for sure a detail of milchama, is to give them a way out. To give them a place to run away. Aval Rambam Sover. But the Rambam says, "Duhu ofan me ofani amalchama." I'm sorry. The Ramban says it's a separate mitzvah to ask them for peace. It's a separate mitzvah to deal with Rachmanus and to allow them to run away. But the Rambam says, "No, this is part of winning the war." Part of winning the war? Limud b'chugos hamalchama shem yakifo osam mikol tzad. If you surround them by all four sides, ume hisya asham b'chayehem ki yiplu biatzar. So what are they going to give? They're going to lose because they're surrounded. Ya'amdu al nafsham b'kol sheiris kocham b'yuchlo lasos chayil. When people have their backs to the wall, they fight harder and they put up a stronger resistance. So the Rambam says, according to the Meshech Chachma, this is just dini melchama. If you put them with their backs to the wall, sometimes they'll fight harder. When a team is down to their last moment, they fight harder. So here, they might fight harder. That's why I leave them open so they don't feel like they have their backs to the wall. Sometimes from the greatest yeyush comes the greatest battle. Again, the Meshech Chachma, the footnotes, he points out that the Ramban has that line that we read. But you could understand that to mean you're giving them an option to run away. They don't have to fight you. But if the Meshech Chachma's idea is even in the Ramban, that's what it means. They're not going to fight you harder. Lo keinim yelahem ofan latzil nafsham. If they know that they have a way out, they won't fight as hard. Az lo yeshlichu as nafshosam mirachok v'yivrachu. V'yim kein ein zeshayach lemitzvah. So therefore, this mitzvah has nothing to do with the other. According to the Ramban, says the Meshech Chachma, it has to do with giving them a way out. Don't be so mean. Right? That's a separate idea. But according to the Ramban, this is just part of the way to win the war. That I don't want to push them to the end because then they're just going to fight harder. Ulanias daiti nirika Rambam. And I think, says the Meshech Chachma, that the Rambam's right. The Bazel si shaper b'sifri v'yimasru me'alfei Yisrael magira kasuf shahayu bnei adam tzadikim ksheirim u'masru nafsham al hadavar. V'rabbi Dasan omer achirim masrum ish ploni kasher yatsa. Ish ploni tzadik yatsa l'machama. And then v'yitzvu amidyan hekifu midalad ruchosea. Pirish. L'taimei azel. That he's going Alishitaso, a Tanakam and Rabbi Nasan, about what the machlokas is, he thinks is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Masra Rashim al Davar of Aholcho Bevisiris Nefesh, Lachel Lachashashu Lashum Takpulos Melcham and Imusis, Rabbi Nasan gave him Ruch Revius, Kadesh Yivrachu. Okay, he puts into the machlokas in the Medrash, the machlokas of the Rambam and the Ramban, Vahavain Vedayek Bekolzeh. And look at this carefully. So three surrounded by three surrounded by four. So that's what popped into my head relating to this machlokas here, the Rasilio and the Mara Folda, about how much the Charia and Chardol are not allowed to be surrounding the Tevua. Four sides or three sides. Okay, we continue. Masisa de Rabbi Yehuda on the top now of your Testament Aleph. The Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Tani, because the following Tosefta has four opinions. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one that the Mishnah follows. Ditani ein makifin chardo v'charia. There's the lashon of ein makifin that we understood the Mishnah as being not just a psopcha but a makifin. Ein makifin chardo v'charia el chasios bilvad. Div Rabbi Meir. Meir says you're only allowed to put chardo v'charia around chasios because these chasios, some type of vegetables, the Mara Folda says, like turnips and onions and leeks and those types, those are called chasios. Those really get damaged by the chardol v'charia, and therefore those cannot be surrounded. Those are the only ones that can be surrounded. All others cannot be surrounded because it'll look like be'irbuv. And Rameir says the only ones that can be are chasios, because those are nifsadim u'mafsidim le'elu biyotzer, says the Pnei Moshe. They totally destroy them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, No, you can surround Chardel Acharya with, you can't surround anything with Chardel Acharya, chutz min atvua, except for Tvua. That's like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Vachalik between Tvua and Yerakos. So that is number two, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, l'kol makiv in Chardel Acharya, anything, everything is mutter, even Tvua, right, more makel than our Mishnah, because it damages them a little bit, that's enough. That's enough to consider it damage, and people will know that you're only doing it for bedika purposes. Chad l'charia never help being planted by anything else, so therefore everything is mutter, says Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, arugos ketanos shel yerek makifenos l'chad l'charia. Small patches of vegetables, so those are damaged by chad l'charia, and that's why that's mutter. That's mutter. But larger patches, Rav Shimon would say, is a problem. Period. That's the Tosefta for opinions. We pass in the our missions like Rabbi Yehuda. Tani mutter hu adam lizaroa betoch sadehu shura shel chardel v'charia. A person is allowed to seed, to put into his wheat field one row of chardel and charia, ubelvad shiasa orach shura, as long as it's a very long row. So it has significance itself, and it looks like something separate. Orech eser amos umechza, as long as it's the lengthwise 10.5 amos, which is a base rova, al rocham iluo, and the width is 6 tvachim. As long as it is that length, so even according to the opinion that says it's usur to put it into tivua, like our Mishnah says, or Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't surround the Tvua with Chardel Acharya, but one row of Chardel Acharya, which itself has significance. It's 10.5 long and 6 tefachim wide, so that is allowed. That looks like a separate planting. That's only by a smaller field that, as we'll see, the row sticks out of. But by Gdola, it wouldn't be enough. What are the measurements? What's a Gdola and what's a Katan? If there is from one edge of the side to the other edge of the side, between the Bads, Marafolda, Bein Anaf Ilan Zeh, La Anaf Ilan Zeh, between the two branches of trees, ha'omdim b'shneid sidei rochav asada, that stand on the edges of the field, l'simin rochav asada, v'anafim boltim arbe l'rochav asada, right, the trees on the edges of the fields, right, if there is between these, the edges of the leaves that stick out from these field markers at the edges, if there's a base rova in between, zui gedola, that's gedola, and then you can have these measurements. The imlav, then you would need even more. Sorry, habagdola lo, you would need even more because it has to look separate. But if it's smaller than that, vimlav zui ktana. But if not, it's ktana. And why? Because then the shur would stick out of the field and be considered like a resh tor. Be considered a resh tor because it's sticking out. It could clearly look as a separate item. Says the Gemara. Less had a pliga Rabbi Yochanan. Would this be against Rabbi Yochanan? Why? Rabbi Yochanan that we had already. Rabbi Yochanan Beis Lakish regarding Rosh Tor. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan said, if you remember Rosh Tor, Abba Mechurva Aser. Rabbi Yochanan said the Rosh Tor is only mutter. Again, Rosh Tor, where you have the diamond sticking. You have the point next to the field. Or the Rambam says even two points next to each other. If you have that from the beginning of the Shazria, then it's allowed. Says Rabbi Yochanan. But if you have two fields that were planted by Isser, and then one of the fields, most of it gets destroyed and becomes desolate, then now you're left with a Rosh Tor, that's not good enough. If it wasn't planted that way, it's not good enough. So here, was it planted that way? Right? It wasn't planted. You planted everything together. You didn't plant it as a Rosh Tor, so maybe that would be a problem, this having this row. The answer is, right, Taman, here's the answer. Taman, Lizra, and Kali Rakos. Rabbi Yochanan, when he says it's Aser, and the Rosh Tor, Babi Chorva Aser, that's talking about where it's for seeds. With plants that are grown for their seeds, so that's where it wouldn't be considered a Rosh Tor. The Kali Rakos, but if you're doing it for the Rakos, you're doing it for the leaves, so then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it's okay. Avagad Rabbi Yochanan, Palak Bizraim, Modu Achabi Rakos. Right, he would agree by Rakos that it would be mutter in this case. Again, a lot of it has to do with how it looks and what is considered within the world of Marasayan, what would we aser. To be considered a Yerek, we've been talking a lot about Yerakos, Tavua, Peros,
These are all different categories of foods.
Important to know, foods come up not just for eating, but foods come up in other areas of halacha as well. But regarding some eating issues, what's the definition of a yerek? Right, it's important to know what the definition of a vegetable is. Number one, for trumas and maisers. Because we know, machlokes, we mention this often, machlokes, Rambam, and other Rishonim, what is chayav and trumas and maisers be daraisa? So the Rambam holds that all fruit are chayav and trumas and maisers be daraisa. That's the Rambam. In the beginning of the second parak of Hilchos Trumos, the Rambam says, Kol ochel adam, hanishmar, shegidulo min haaretz, chayav b'truma. All food, all ochel adam that grows from the ground, meaning not steak, not chicken, anything that grows from the ground is chayav in truma. U'mitzvah asay, lahafresh bimena reishis lekohen. And it's a mitzvah daraisa to give the first part to the kohen, shenema reishis to gadcha v'tiroshcha v'yitzarecha titein lo. Ma, and the Rambam says, Ma daga tirosh v'yitzar, ma achal adam, v'gidula min haaretz, v'yesh lo b'ayalim. Just like daga tirosh v'yitzar, wheat and oil and wine are food that grow from the ground and they have an owner, they're not hefker, shenemar digan chav, av kol kayotze bohen, chayav v'chubas v'chem b'maisrus. So too, all items that grow from the ground are chayav v'chubas v'maisrus, according to the Rambam. Again, against Rashi and Tosfos in a few places in Shas, where Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim say only Daga Tirosh V'Yitzar. The Rambam says Beferish, Daga Tirosh V'Yitzar are examples. But the all fruit, right, plums and peaches and nectarines, all of them are going to be Chayav Shumas Maisers Midaraisa, according to the Rambam, while other Rishonim say no, only Daga Tirosh V'Yitzar are chayiv midrabbana. Why is this in Perek Beis of Hilchos Shubos? This sounds like a basic idea. Perek Aleph of the Rambam in Hilchos Shubos talks all about places, geography, right? All about Ketushas Eretz Yisrael and Syria and all the places where the world Shubos is going to be Noheg. Perek Beis gets into what is Truma Noheg on. But that's the Rambam and the Rashi and Tosfos and others. But later on in the Perek, the Rambam agrees that when it comes to Yerakos, it's for sure Durabana. Right, even though he said before, you might have said it's included, all food that grows from the ground and has an owner, Gidula bin Aretz is going to be chayiv. So the Rambam says, in Halacha Vav, based on Halacha Vav, based on Chazal, Hayirakos, Af al pi shehein ma'achal adam, einan chayavin b'maiser selim yidivrehim. Lefi shenemar b'maiser, tvuas zarecha. Tvua v'chayotze ba. Anything like grain. Avol hayirakos, einan b'chal tvua. But vegetables are not included in tevua, so yerakos are going to be chayiv in maisrus mi derabanan, and then the Rambam adds v'chein yerali shuadin b'truma. And I think the same thing would apply to truma. Shaharei ne'mar ba deganchav tiroshcha v'yitzarecha kol adom le'elu aval trumas hayerek mi devrehem ke maiser. So too trumas and maisrus for yerakos are derabanan. So it's important to know what's a yerek and what's tevua and what's a fruit. Because for Trumas and Maisers, that is one nafkamina. Also for Hilchos Brachos, as we know. Hilchos Brachos, what is a Yerek and what is a Pri? There are a number of certain items are simple, but there are some items that we know are a little tricky to know what's a Yerek and what's a Pri. A banana, we know we make a Bori Pri Ha'adama on a banana. Why do we make a Bori Pri Ha'adama? What's the rule? A banana goes all the way up in the tree. So the difference isn't how where it grows and how tall it is, but as we know, the Gemara tells us, it depends whether the tree lasts from season to season, and the fruit just come back every season, like an apple tree or an orange tree. Those trees are alive and well throughout the winter. They just get new produce every season. But let's say a potato patch and a pepper patch, there's nothing in the patch in the winter. It's totally dried out. It's totally dead. So if something totally dies in the winter and just regrows, the whole ikar grows every year. So that is considered a yerek. So a banana tree, even though it is a tree, it grows up high, but it dries out totally in the winter. And therefore it is considered a yerek. Interesting discussion in the postgame. What about hearts of palm? Hearts of palm that come from the middle, the eighths of the palm tree. What bracha do you make out of hearts of palms? That's also a discussion. Whether it's shahakol, some say it's a shahakol because you're not sure, the most inclusive. But a number of poskim say you should make a bari priya dama on it. And not a, what's the other choice? Bari priya eitz. It's coming from a tree, so maybe you should make a bari priya eitz. So some say that in the Zosa bracha, they quote a number of reasons why you should say a bari priya dama. One of them is that it's not a pri ha eitz. It is the eitz.
It is the eitz, right? It's the soft part of the inside of the tree before it gets hardened. So it's a, it is the eitz. It's not the, it's a pri adama. It comes out of the ground, but it's not the pri eitz. Number one. Number two, also the way that you have to harvest and get the hearts of pav is that you have to kill the tree. If you're taking out the middle of the tree, so you have to take out the, you have to kill it. So that's like, it doesn't last from year to year because you have to kill the tree every time you harvest the hearts of the palm. So that's why you would make a ha'adama because it fits into that category. And there are other discussions as well. Berries, well, generally we make bar pir eitz on all berries except for strawberries. But some berries grow low to the ground. So there are those that say that if berries grow within 3 tefachim of the ground, so then you should make adama, but it seems like the poskim say to make a ha'etz, because berries fulfill the rules of ha'etz. Okay. So that's a little bit about yarukos, and it's important to know what's a yerek, what's a zera, and what's a tvua. We continue now. Grid, the Mishnah quoted, a number of areas that create hefsekim for planting. So grid, if somebody has a dry area, what's a dry area in relative terms? An area that's just watered by rainwater, but you don't irrigate it. You don't bring any water yourself. So grid mutter lezarabo kol min sheyirtze. You could plant in grid any vegetable. Look at the Mara folder. Makama yaveh shebesadeh mutter lezarabo kol min yerek sheyirtze. Afilu eino osan min shebesadeh. You could plant a different min than what's on the sides. Because that will clearly be demarcated from the rest of the field, because the whole field you irrigate. So all of a sudden you can have an area that you don't irrigate, it'll be clearly demarcated. So in there, you can plant a different min. You can plant a vegetable. Amar Yochanan, Ubilvad, Sheyasa, Shlosha, Bitoch, Shisha, Fishlosha, Shay Smuchim. I'm sorry, let's stop there for a minute. Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as it is 6 tefachim long, and 3 of the 6 tefachim are planted. Right, less than 3 planted, less than 6, that's not significant by itself, and therefore that won't be nikar. They'll just think this is a little thing in the middle of a larger field, and therefore it wouldn't be mutter. Vishlosha, sheitzmuchim legeder, kigrid. If you have 3 tefachim next to a fence, people don't like to get next to their fence totally wet, and they don't water it in the same way that they water the rest of their field, because they don't want the foundations of the fence to become wet and soft. So the 3 tefachim next to the fence, that's also like grid. It has the same status as the dry area, because you're not going to irrigate that as much as the other areas. Next. Hayushlosha betoch shisha ve'echad chutz l'shisha. What happens if you did 3, like you have this grid area in the middle of your field, and you planted a vegetable, 3 tefachim, within the 6, but ve'echad chutz l'shisha. One, then you added on 1 more tefach outside the grid. Outside the grid, in the irrigated area. Says the Gemara, me'achar shehutz l'elu, since the 3 tefachim are saved, they're considered a separate unit, and therefore it's mutter. Avze hutzal. This 1 tefach that's outside the grid is nigrar after the 3 inside, and therefore it will be mutter. Even that 1 is saved. But this case, hayushnayim betoch shisha. What if you have 2 inside the 6, right, which aren't enough? The echad chutz l'shisha, and 1 is outside the 6. You have 2 and then 1 is outside the 6. So me'achar. So what's the question? You might say that there's 6 grid regarding, let's say you planted 3 tefachim and then 1 to the east side of it, 1 to the right side of it. So you have 6 grid to the west side of this 1 row. So you might say this 1 row is okay because there's still 6 tefachim between it and the other side, right? You look at the picture. There are pictures here, and there are pictures on the bottom of the Amud. But it says, me'achash lahutz lu'elu, because those 2 are not saved. The 2 in the grid aren't saved because of the min acher on the other side. It's not 6 tefach away from the min acher. You have these 2 in the grid. It's not 6 tefachim away, and it's not considered, you don't have the salvation of the grid area because you didn't plant 3 in the grid. So the 2 are nasar. So too the extra row, even though it is 6 tefach away from the other min, it's also going to be nasar because it's part of the group, just like the first line. It was saved because of who it was with. Here it's asered because of who it was with. Right? A little bit sounds like that Mishnah in the first parak of Makos, that Tapishnai Boshlosha, even though you don't need three, right? Once you have the third, then it's that third one goes with the two, Latov or Lamutav. Avzeh lohutzal. So says the Gemara, Meachash lohutzal. Since the two are not saved, Avzeh lohutzal, this one isn't saved either. Hayesham grid shura. What if you have the following? You have one row of grid, dry, the shura geder, and then you have a row of a geder, which is also considered a grid, the shura, and an irrigated row in between. So you have grid and grid, and you have one irrigated row in between these two grids. Says the Gemara, Choshen es Ashura. They surround and swallow up that irrigated area, and it's Mevatelet. It's Mevatelet. Look at the Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Choshen es Ashura. The lo amrinan, de os Ashura mutter lizara kol min sheyirtze, ta somchin legrid veino kilayim, tekiva da grid chovesh, batel Ashura legabi grid kazet. It's batel. And since it's batel, you cannot plant a separate thing in there. They're mevatel, the irrigated area, and therefore it is going to be a problem. Maybe we'll start with next time, but tomorrow, when it's mevatel it, bitel usually means like you can't, you can identify the davar hanesar. So what does bitel here mean? Maybe it doesn't really mean bitel, but maybe it means a different concept that we have, and that is how you define it, rubo kakulo. Okay, we'll have to maybe get back to that next time. Okay, we'll stop here.